This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Hugh Lockhaw will be here to preview this year's Chat Hills International that starts next week. And also we're going to be hearing from Leah Elgart from Area 3, who's made a great start to the season this year with a couple of wins already. And we'll be hearing from Leah a little bit later on. But we begin with Hugh Lockhaw, who I spoke to last week, to hear about what we can expect at this year's Chat Hills International. The big competition of the year for you, isn't it, Hugh?
It is, yeah. We have our CIT 3-star, 2-star, 1-star. We used to always run the lower levels with our international event in the spring, but this year, because of our change of date, we weren't allowed to do it. And I think it opens up the door for certainly the opportunity for us to do some other little bits on the side and focus on sort of the quality, I suppose, at the top end of the sport rather than having to fund it with the... Well, we're not allowed to fund it with the lower levels, and I always think it's a difficult thing for our sport to deal with. You're funding the top end of the sport with the lower end of the sport, so you have to run all in conjunction with one another, and that it's nice when you have a chance to not have to run the lower levels at the same time as the upper level, so the focus can be on a little bit more on trying to do a quality job at the top end.
How many levels, how many divisions do you have this year, Hugh?
Yeah, we've got the 3, the 2, the 1-star, and we've got an advanced and intermediate, but nothing below 1-star.
And running, of course, the USEA's Gold Cup series as well, yeah. Hosting
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that's always good to be part of that. It gives us more significance, and I like the plan that they've got in place, and I like the fact that it works towards the ACs at the end of the year. That's it's not the end of the year, but it is well on into the season, so it gives people more reason to come and support the Gold Cup series.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the course you've got going there and what our members can expect if they're heading to Chat Hills this year. What have you done to it?
We've actually changed a lot on the I suppose the focus would be the 3-star and the 2-star, the upper two levels. The route has changed quite considerably. We go up across the front of Carl's Barn. At Chat Hills, we've got this magnificent backdrop of Carl's Barn that sits there and does nothing. And so we're running up across the lawn underneath one of the statues there. So that makes a nice spectacle of it. And adds in a whole new loop with quite a few new jumps. We've got new lane crossings. I think it's just the same old thing as before. It's a bold piece of country, so the horses travel well across the ground here. Good kicker on track. It's probably quite big and not very technical, I'd say, is probably the way of describing it. So it's there to give everybody a good, fun run before. It's 3 weeks before Jersey Fresh, the Spring Championships. And it is, it's obviously a significant step for the Southern competitors towards both Jersey and Bromont. I just feel like moving our date from mid-May, when it was after Jersey Fresh, which is a very difficult date to sort of have any relevance. We've moved it to the week before Rolex, so we obviously won't get the Rolex horses. We do have a combined test, so I think there are a couple of Rolex horses coming to do the combined test. The whole Canadian team are in fact coming to do the combined test, I understand. So it gives us a chance to be a little bit more relevant in the spring schedule.
Now, are you going left or right? Is it a clockwise or anti-clockwise direction? And what are your signature fences this year, Hugh?
Wow, right. You start talking about clockwise and anti-clockwise. We're not badminton, but we are, let me think about that. We are, well, it's, yeah, I mean, like any, because we have, I'll tell you, we've got 3 left-hand combinations and 3 right-hand combinations, so it's a little bit of both. You're not going to know whether you're going clockwise or anti-clockwise. It's a whole new track from before.
Right.
So, signature questions. Always the water jump. We've got a very big water jump. We've got a new water jump at the beginning of the course that is not a significant fence, but it's just nice to have a new water test. We have new steps, bouncer steps going across the main road, which is new and will be significant with a brush at the third element. We do go through the main arena again. But I think really the lane crossing, the water jump, and then the new loop that goes up across Carlsbad. We've got a new combination on the what we call the main stage, the big flat area where the music festival has its main stage. We've got a new corner combination and OXO there. So I think there's a lot to be considered different from years gone by. It needs a little bit of a facelift. You know, Chat Hills, the same old jumps have been around here for 6, 8, 10 years, and so we're always looking to put us a little bit of a new spin on it. And what time better than to do it during our CIC in the spring?
Absolutely. Well, of course, 22nd through the 24th of April, but let's talk about the actual program. When do you kick off with the jog?
Yeah, it is a straightforward two-day format. The 22nd is the in barns and vet check and all that sort of stuff, but we do dressage and show jumping on the Saturday, the 23rd, and we do cross-country all day Sunday. So we do have that reverse, that format that the Americans prefer, with the cross-country running last.
Right. So obviously a full and intense few days there at Chat Hills. What else do you have going on aside from the competition itself to entertain everyone?
Yeah, I think obviously without the low levels, you don't expect massive entries, especially when you're a new event the week before Rolex, the week after Kala Horse Park with the CCR2 star things going on down there. So we don't expect enormous entries, let's face it, at the upper level. So we have two jumper classes going on as well. We have a combined test, advanced combined test. Our jumper classes are a 1 meter 15, $2,500 jumper class, and we have a 125, $5,000 jumper class on Saturday afternoon in conjunction with, so it'll run in and amongst the CIC show jumping, and actually the combined test, the advanced combined test, their show jumping element is part of that $125, $5,000 class. So you can come and do the combined test and get lucky by winning the the jumper class as well, and winning the $2,500 first prize there. So yeah, that's one little addition to the Saturday program. We have a schooling show going on just to get some activity in the upper Grand Prix ring. While cross country is going on Sunday, there will be basically from prelim down to the much lower levels show jumping going on in the upper Grand Prix. So that's another little bit going on. We've got Pony Grand National Finals, which is a spectacle that we do on Friday evening. We've got a puissance, bareback puissance on Friday evening, in conjunction with competitive parties and that sort of thing, just to give ourselves a little bit of a spectacle in the evenings.
Right. Yes, I was wondering about all the other activities as well for those that are not competing, and for the visitors, yeah. What else can they look forward to?
Well, the kids' zone and that sort of a thing. I wouldn't stretch. We got quite a well supported retail village this year. So we've got a lot of outlets there, other than just tax stores and that sort of thing. So that's good. I'm very happy with the way that's come along. It's just a good weekend out, and I think the weekend goes in a hurry. We've got ourselves a base now to build on. I think in the future we can turn this into a three or four days, more like a festival, and have a lot more going on. But I think you've got to be a little bit careful initially. You don't want to have masses and masses going on and have an unrealistic expectation as to how many people are going to come through the gate. I don't think we're going to have big gate receipts this year, but we, as I say, we're giving ourselves a significant platform to then build this event upon.
Absolutely. Then which day is the competitors' party? I'm sure they want to know that.
Yeah, there's two of them. Friday night we have a cocktail party, and Saturday night is the competitor meal. We've got a live band, just generally a good bit of fun both evenings.
Yes. And anything else then, Hugh, that you would like our members to know about if they're thinking of going to Chat Hills this year?
Obviously the Andrew Benny effect. We're very proud to be hosting Andrew Benny, the New Zealand president of our grand jury, who's going on to Rolex the following week, and then he is on the grand jury at Rio this summer, and he's never judged in the US before. I believe he's never judged in the US before. So it's an opportunity for the competitors to compete in front of him. Obviously, Marilyn Payne, being from America, she's the president of the grand jury in Rio. She sees these guys all the time. And Sandy Phillips is the other member, and she's obviously done masses of judging over here and knows these competitors well. So this was an opportunity for us to get Andrew in front of everybody. He'll be judging the combined test, the four-star test, just the week before Rolex here. So it's a chance for people to be judged by him and show him what they're worth pre-Rolex and pre-Rio.
Absolutely. So
that's one significant addition. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so who else then? Marilyn and then Andrew. Who else is officiating?
No. Marilyn's not officiating here. I was just suggesting that Marilyn and Sandy know these competitors well, and so this was our opportunity to bring the third member of the Rio Grand Jury.
Yes.
They haven't really come across him before, so it's a chance to compete in front of him.
Yes.
That's why the Canadians are going to come. They're actually, Andrew's going to critique their dressage find a time to critique their dressage. So Clayton has them riding in front of him and have him tell them what he believes they're doing right and wrong.
A very useful perspective then ahead of Rio.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like it's going to be another great event. And the weather, do you know what the forecast is ahead now? Or, I mean,
long range, no, we're a little bit far out. We've actually got an event this weekend. We've got lovely weather here. The grass is, we've had a very early spring, as I think a lot of the East Coast have. So everything's out 2-3 weeks ahead of time. We've got a lot of lush green grass. We're mowing every week at the moment. So we're glad that we've had an early spring for our first April 3 start. It's going to be lush and nice by then. But obviously, at this stage, we're 2.5 weeks out. We don't know what the forecast is going to bring yet.
Right. Okay. Well, a good ground covering anyway. Good turf covering then.
Yeah. Exactly.
For them.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, hopefully, you'll have the weather on your side as well, Hugh, and it'll be another super event there at Chad Hills in Georgia. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, and the best of luck.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate the time.
And now, in our series of those at the top of the leaderboard so far this season, we hear from Leah Elgart from Area 3. Leah, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So you're now at a senior in high school, in Alpharetta High School, and competing mm-hmm. with two horses right now, but lots of ambitions with those, I know. Let's talk about the one, your main horse, the Punchline, or Punch as you call him, who you've had such a fantastic season with so far. I mean, how did that partnership come about in the first place, Leanne? How did you find him?
Okay, so Punch is a six-year-old that I got. He's a thoroughbred. I got him from Julie Richards and Bree Murray, and they're in Noonan, Georgia. And Julie, I tried a lot of horses from her off and on when I was competing my pony, getting ready to go prelim with him. And then he got an injury, and she was like, I'm going to find you a horse, don't worry. And she finally showed me Punch as a four-year-old two winters ago, or December of 2014. And I fell in love with him and decided to buy him. And I brought him up through novice in training, and I just moved him up to prelim in January. And he's just a fantastic horse. And I wish I knew if he was out of two punch or not, because everyone asks me that question, but I do not know.
Oh, you said you fell in love with him. What was it about his personality and his temperament that suited you so well?
He is the most laid back. It's not that I don't love exciting horses, because I have one, but he just wants to please you. He's very sweet and loving, and he's basically the best baby I've ever sat on. He just works his hardest every single ride, and you know that he just wants to make you happy, and it's very awesome to have in such a young horse.
Well, yes, because he is still young, as you say. I mean, what's he like at competition? Is he much different? Does he get excited by the idea of going galloping cross country? What kind of temperament is he at the events?
He gets a good kind of excited. He plays off of me because I get excited, nervous, kind of good stuff. But he's pretty awesome at events. And I mean, I couldn't ask for a better horse. He's such a great partner and such a great competitor. He's just fantastic.
Well, after last year, I mean, you had some top placings last year with him, but going into this year, this season with him, you started off, where was it, Poplar Place? You started with him?
In January, I brought him out for his first prelim. It's typically a good, nice first prelim to run, and I was really excited to go with him because I did not have such great luck with my pony my first time around trying to go prelim, and he just handled the tougher questions really well and made everything else look pretty easy. Even though it blew his mind a little bit, he was fantastic.
Now, how was his dressage, though, at the start of the season? How did that come out?
He has really nice flat. It's definitely not my strongest suit. I've learned to get better at that. But he has photic head shaking, so that sometimes limits our abilities because it is very hard for him to stay focused when it, like, as of now, like, the just the season right now, it's really hard. He came out nicer on the flat at the beginning, and we had a not so great test at Paradise, which is the event after that, but he does all right. We're getting better. It's mostly me. It's not him.
Well, he didn't do anything wrong over the fences, though, at Paradise Farm, did he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. And we're getting better jumping and gone to a lot of clinics. We went down to ICP, and we were demo riders there. So I've took a clinic with Tim, too. We've been working a lot trying to get better as a team.
That was a win already for him, so that was obviously a great confidence boost for you heading to Pine Top then in March. Talk about that competition, because he got off to a good start there with his dressage. You know, that went well, didn't it, for you? You won that again, so two wins under your belt. What was the difference between those three events for you with him?
Paradise was definitely the difference between Paradise and Poplar. Like, I knew the course was going to be a lot different, like cross-country and stadium-wise. They were probably going to be a little bit more challenging. And dressage warm-up is actually very hard at Paradise because it's on a hill for most of it. So I knew that would be a distraction for me because I'm very bad with change it. And he just, you know, came out. We just tried to do our best in the flat and then just really focused on, like, getting clean jumping rounds and staying together and on the same team. And it was great. And, you know, he handled Paradise like amazingly. It was I thought it was a challenging course, especially after the course he had done at Poplar, and he just did amazing. I mean, he took everything in stride and just really walked on to the fences and was very honest and saved me in the coffin that was ginormous. And then Pine Top, you know, never disappoints cross country and or stadium. It's a very challenging event that's absolutely my favorite event, and I could not believe how fantastic he was in everything. I was not so great show jumping, and that caused us a rail. That course was not forgiving, but it was a very good course, and cross country was fantastic. It was an awesome course, and it was very hard to make time, and he proved to me that I had been working very hard on his fitness, and proved to me that he is a thoroughbred, and we made time. Only like three people made time, I think. It was very cool, and it was a very nice course that rode very awesome.
Well, obviously that's a great confidence boost for you. As I said, two wins already out of three events this season. Going forward then, what are you looking at now for the rest of the spring season, and then after that, what would be your long-term goals this year with him?
I can't qualify for young riders because I'm too old, so that's sadly not one of my goals. But for the rest of this season, I'm very busy in April trying to get ready for graduation and stuff, so I don't have anything planned besides some schooling trips. But we're going to go to the Poplar in the 1st of May and hopefully the chat at the end of May, and then go to championships in June, area championships. And then we don't at the moment have anything planned for the summer because I'm gone for most of it, but hopefully we'll finish out the season strong in spring. And then long-term goals for the year, I don't have any. Hopefully just run a one star or two and just do as best as he can. And long-term, I just hope to go as far as he can. And as long as he tells me he's game, I'm game.
You keep going. All right, so he gets a good summer break then.
Yeah. I'm gone. I go every year to a camp, and I'm a counselor, so I'm gone for 4 weeks.
Right. All right.
I feel bad leaving him, but he deserves the time off anyways.
I'm sure. Absolutely. He'll be ready for it. But, you know, good season so far. A lot to look forward to with him. Do you think you'll be able to take him as far as your ambitions go? Or what do you consider as a partnership for him long term?
I'm hoping he'll continue to want to keep going with me. I think he will. He's just, every time he comes out, it's better and better. And he tells me more and more each jump lesson and every show that he's just more game and more ready and even more honest, and I didn't realize that was possible. But hopefully we'll keep going until he says no. If he decides he wants to be my Rolex horse, that would be fantastic.
Right. Okay. Not stopping until you get to Rolex. Now, who do you train with, Leah?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Who do you train with?
Tawn Edwards.
Tawn Edwards.
She's been fantastic over the years. I've trained with her my entire life.
Right. And so what are your biggest takeaways from your training sessions with him then, with Tawn? I mean, I'm sure she gives you homework.
She gives me a lot of homework and a lot of thought on my own, too. I think the most I learned from her is just, you know, to keep finding ways to, like, get better, and new exercise always helps, and going back to the basics work, too. And she's just been a support system on and off the ground. She's like my second mom.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you do have another ride we should mention, Celtic Flair. Let's talk about the partnership with Celtic Flair.
She is Tawn's little pony that I've been working with for a little while. She's a fiery one, but she is awesome. She's going to make a fantastic pony one day. And I've been riding her, I don't know, but a little while, but she's gone to 3 events now, and they didn't end up all as planned at Poplar. We had the bad weather, and the footing wasn't that great, and she's barefoot, and she slipped and just fell after jump number 2, so that was disappointing. But she was great at Paradise, and then Pine Top, she decided she didn't like the dive water, but she's getting there. She's working really hard on the flat and jump, and I'm having so much fun. It's a great opportunity to be able to ride a bunch of different horses every day.
Yes, for sure. But your previous partner to these two was Woodlands Silver Star. What happened there? What did that partnership just come to a natural end?
No, he sustained a suspensory injury. We're not sure how, but I still own him. He's a little older though now, so we made the decision after the injury, and he had to get surgery, but I brought him back in rehab, and he's getting half leased by a younger girl at my barn who's just fantastic and loves him, and it's wonderful to see him make someone else so happy as well as me. And I still ride him like 3 to 4 days a week just to keep him on the ball, but he's the best pony in the world. I can't believe I got so lucky with him either.
Well, obviously it gave you a good foundation there, but it's Punchline that you have the big ambitions for. I mean, if you look at, you know, your future, like going to college maybe, and then after that, you mentioned Rolex with him. Now, what else do you have on your to-do list?
I'm not so good at looking for the future. I have a hard time picking what I'm going to do next year with my life, but, you know, if I could hit Rolex and do a couple other things overseas, I just want to go as far as I'm able to, and as far as either Punch is able to or my next horse is, just keep on finding new opportunities to take and maybe go overseas, you know, just whatever I'm able to do.
Who are your eventing heroes?
Oh, that's hard, but definitely look up to David O'Connor so much, and I know he's just awesome. I listened, everything he said at ICP was pretty life-changing. It was very cool.
In the short term, I think you've got ambitions to train with someone else, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. We'll see where it takes me, but hopefully find a coach down maybe Florida that will work for me.
Fabulous. Well, all of this has would not be possible, has to be thanks to your parents. Why don't you give them a shout out?
Yeah, my parents are fantastic. For writing and school-wise, they're my support system, and whether they know it or not, I appreciate them in extreme amounts.
What are their names?
Mark and Joanne. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks to them helping you in your career in eventing. And congratulations, Leah. That's a great start to the season for you. Long may it continue, and enjoy your eventing with Punch and the other horses.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for coming on the program.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can keep up with all the news on the website at useventing.com and follow us on social media channels too for updates. This podcast is available for download from iTunes to any mobile device, so you can listen to the show on the go. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.